We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Station. The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Brian Barrett with you until 4 o'clock. The number is 617-779-7937. This hour is brought to you by Eagle Bank. By the way, the match, Tom Brady pairing up with Phil Mickelson, taking on Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, just about to get underway on TNT, so we'll definitely keep you updated on the match if anything happens when we're in the air. If Tom Brady does poorly, if he does well, we'll let you know. I made it abundantly clear earlier, I have to pull for Manning and for Tiger Woods. I just can't cheer for Phil Mickelson. I'm sorry, he's too corny. He's kind of annoying. He wears those long shirts on the golf course that just look bad. So I'm going to go with Tiger Woods. Plus, I'd like to see Tiger get his revenge on Phil after Tiger lost to Phil last time around. So you got a situation where Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are renewing their rivalry, yet they're doing it on the golf course. I mentioned a little bit earlier, I would be nervous if I was one of those guys. I really would. Hitting in front of, I know there's no people there, but again, everybody in the country is going to be watching this event because there's no other really live sports going on nowadays besides essentially NASCAR and you get the Bundesliga in terms of soccer, but everybody's going to be watching this match. I would be nervous if I was Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. I get they're both pretty good golfers, but you're playing on the same course with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, arguably the greatest golfer of all time, and Phil Mickelson, the second best golfer of his era, if you will. So I'm interested to see some of the trash talk, etc. I know Charles Barkley is going to be in the broadcast as well, so that will make things interesting. But I would be very nervous if I was one of those guys today. We'll see if Tom Brady or Peyton Manning plays better. Manning should. Manning's got more off time, if you will, considering the fact that he's been retired for, what, 4 years now. His last game was in 2016, after the 2015 season, the 2016 Super Bowl. So he's got plenty of time to play golf. All right, I also wanted to get to this. So I mentioned that a former Patriot thinks that Brian Hoyer is going to be the starter for the team in week one rather than Jarrett Stidham. So this is what Rob Ninkovich said this week on Get Up on ESPN. I think Hoyer will be the starter in week one, and I say that because the quarterback position is one of the most important for reps under center, seeing defensive backs, looking at coverage, understanding the offense. There's no mini camp. There's no offseason. There's no training camp. We don't know when that's going to happen. So if you have a veteran quarterback who's been in the system and understands what to expect, what an NFL season is like, you're going to want to go with the guy who has had the veteran leadership and also has had what it takes to be in that building. Look, when you're a second-year player, you really don't realize what a season's like as a starter. You don't understand what it's going to be like or what it's going to take, and not having an offseason does not help. So Brian Hoyer will be the starter in week one. Anybody believe that Brian Hoyer is going to be the starter for the Patriots in week one over Jarrett Stidham? 617-779-7937 is the number. Rob Ninkovich, of course, he's the one that thinks that's going to happen. I don't see how it happens. So first of all, Rob Ninkovich mentions that the quarterback needs to read coverage and all this, and because there's no mini camp, it favors a veteran. Okay, well, sure, on a very basic level, that's true. Matt Ryan is going to be significantly more comfortable starting this NFL season in week one than Joe Burrow is. He's had experience in the system. He's been around the NFL for almost 15 years now. I mean, think about it. Matt Ryan was drafted in 07. So that's an obvious statement that Rob Ninkovich makes. But the question that I would ask Rob Ninkovich is, think about who the veteran is. He's talking about knowing the offense, reading the defenses, etc. Well, Brian Hoyer has never done that well. Okay, it's one thing if you're talking about offensive or a quarterback, rather, that reads defense as well, but you're talking about a guy in Brian Hoyer that legitimately, as an NFL quarterback, does nothing well. Okay, you look at his most recent football game. It came against the Miami Dolphins, in which he was 18 of 39 for 204 yards with one touchdown and one interception. Not too good, okay? His team, by the way, put up 12 points against a Dolphins defense. They gave up 30.9 points per game, which was worst in the league. Hoyer, in his career, is 16 and 22. He's completed 59% of his passes. His average in terms of yards per game is 148. In Cleveland one year, he got the opportunity to start 12 football games. 12 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. So he doesn't even protect the ball. So maybe even if you had, say, for example, the situation that the Chargers have, where they have Tyrod Taylor, or somebody like Case Keenum, who I know he's not going to start this year, but nonetheless, he's in Cleveland. You have Case Keenum, you have Tyrod Taylor. Two guys that have had at least marginal NFL success. I'm not saying they've been great players, but Keenum took a team, not that he was the main reason, but he went to all the way to the NFC Championship game as a member of the Vikings, and Tyrod Taylor has been a starter for a bunch of different teams. They have experience. Those guys have been decent quarterbacks. Not somebody that you're going to give a big contract to, but they've been okay. They've been fine. If you need to start that guy, if your quarterback's down or you're waiting for the young guy to develop, that's fine. You can start those guys. But Hoyer's not even in that category. Hoyer's been an awful NFL quarterback. He got opportunities to start in San Francisco, in Cleveland, in Houston, in Chicago, and he's never been good. So this is what I just can't comprehend from what Rob Ninkovich is putting out there. He's basically saying just because he's the veteran, he should get the job. So do you think that Bill Belichick's going to say, well, you know what, he throws a lot of interceptions. He isn't putting the ball where it needs to be from an accuracy standpoint. But you know what, fellas? You know what? He's been in the league for a while. So you know what? Let's go with Hoyer. Even though he throws a lot of interceptions, even though he's not accurate, even though he doesn't have a good arm, let's go with Hoyer. He's not overly athletic. Let's go with Hoyer. You know why? Because he's been in the league for a couple of years. Even though Stidham's way more talented, let's just go with the experience. Let's go with Brian Hoyer. That, to me, from Rod Ninkovich's argument, it just makes no sense to go with Brian Hoyer over Jarrett Stidham. The other thing I would say is, does everyone forget, or I should say, does Rob Ninkovich and some of the other people that are saying Hoyer's got a chance to win this job, do they forget that Jarrett Stidham actually beat out Brian Hoyer last year? We had this same competition last year, except it was for the backup quarterback position. And Bill Belichick decided to cut Brian Hoyer and go with Jarrett Stidham as the backup because at that point in time, Jarrett Stidham, as a rookie with no NFL experience, was showing more signs than Brian Hoyer had ever did in his NFL career. I would also mention the fact that it's really not 1995 anymore. Guys, in terms of quarterbacks, they play right away in the NFL. This isn't even back to 2005 with Aaron Rodgers, where it's like, oh, we'll give him some time under Brett Favre to develop. That's not how it works in the NFL anymore. Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield going back to 2013 with Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Those guys all started in year one. You find out if a guy can play really, really quickly. And I get Stidham wasn't a high pick. He was a fourth round selection, but that was in 2019. Like, this argument would make at least a little bit more sense if this was Stidham's rookie season in the NFL, but he's been in the Patriots system for a year. He was Tom Brady's backup last season. He played in the preseason last year. This isn't like Jarrett Stidham is a fourth-round pick that you just selected last month, and now all of a sudden you're asking him to start NFL games. No, he's been in the system. You've been grooming him to eventually take over for Tom Brady, or at least have an opportunity to take over for Tom Brady. So just because Brian Hoyer has more NFL experience, that doesn't mean that he should be the starter. That's where I just completely disagree with the point that Rob Ninkovich is making when he was on Get Up on ESPN, factoring in the experience. Well, what if the experience is bad? The experience for Brian Hoyer is he's never been a good NFL quarterback. So all of a sudden, just because he's been around the league and he's played for a million different teams, the Cardinals, the Browns, the San Francisco 49ers, the Patriots three different times. So just because the Colts last year, just because he's played for all these different teams, that means that he should be the starting quarterback over Jarrett Stidham because Jarrett Stidham hasn't played in the NFL yet. If anything, we know everything there is to know about Brian Hoyer. He's not accurate. He turns the football over a lot. He's not a winning level quarterback. So there's no reason to go with Brian Hoyer over Jarrett Stidham. I just don't understand the logic there from Rob Ninkovich. If the experience is bad, if the resume is bad, why would he be the guy? If you have two candidates, one guy's older, he's got more experience, but he hasn't been great in his previous places, aren't you going to hire the younger person who comes with a nice background but doesn't have the sales experience or whatever it is that the older guy has, even if the older guy isn't good at that? It just doesn't make sense to go with Brian Hoyer. I just don't understand it whatsoever. The other thing I would say is this. If they start Brian Hoyer in week one, like say somehow, and like I said, I don't believe that Rob Ninkovich is going to be proven correct on this whatsoever. I believe that Jarrett Stidham is going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots week one. Everything points to this, especially considering the fact that you have all the players on the team speaking highly of Stidham, the Devin McCourtys of the world, right? Nobody's talking about Brian Hoyer. Nobody's like, oh, yeah, Hoyer. Yeah, we really like Brian. No, everybody's talking about what Jarrett Stidham showed last year in preseason, what he showed throughout practice last year and all that stuff. Nobody's pointing to the fact that, hey, well, you know what? We really saw some great stuff from Brian Hoyer when he was in Indy. No, because Brian Hoyer stunk last year when he actually got the opportunity to start games after Jacoby Brissett went down with an injury. Think about this. Brian Hoyer was the backup for Jacoby Brissett, and the Colts aren't playing either of those guys this year. Not playing Jacoby Brissett, not playing Brian Hoyer. They went with Phillip Rivers. Brian Hoyer just goes from team to team to team, okay? And if Bill Belichick really thought that Jarrett Stidham couldn't handle the starting quarterback job for the Patriots in the 2020 season, don't you think he would have done more this offseason than Brian Hoyer? So if he really truly didn't believe Jarrett Stidham was going to be the guy, you'd think that Belichick's answer to that problem was to go out on the open market and essentially sign a guy that's already played for his organization two different times as a backup quarterback, a guy that he cut last year. He knows everything there is to know about Brian Hoyer. He cut the player last year. He's been with the organization two different times. So if Belichick didn't believe in Jarrett Stidham, and you could argue maybe Belichick believes too much in Stidham, but if Belichick didn't believe in Jarrett Stidham, he would have done something this offseason outside of Brian Hoyer when we're talking about the quarterback market. This was like the biggest market ever for quarterbacks. Jameis Winston was out there. And I'm not saying I would have wanted Jameis Winston on the Patriots, but if you didn't believe in Jarrett Stidham, maybe say, well, I mean, he's only getting a $1.1 million deal with the New Orleans Saints, so maybe we offer Jameis Winston some contract to come in here, see if he can actually play. Maybe we go after a guy like Phillip Rivers for a year, see if Phillip Rivers can do something. And even if it isn't one of the veteran guys, right? What about the fact that you had this draft that was considered to be littered with quarterback prospects, guys that went in the fourth and fifth round? I didn't see the Patriots take a shot on Jacob Eason. I didn't see the Patriots take a shot on Jake Fromm. So Belichick doesn't address the quarterback position in the draft. He didn't address the quarterback position in free agency, other than re-signing a backup quarterback that's played for him on two different occasions. So if he didn't do any of those things in terms of addressing the quarterback position, what he's telling you is that he has confidence in Jarrett Stidham. Because you can't tell me that Belichick is going to enter the 2020 season and start a player in Brian Hoyer that he just cut less than a year ago. It just doesn't make practical sense whatsoever. And from a fan standpoint, if you will, if the Patriots actually roll out there with Brian Hoyer in week one, I'm going to have a really tough time watching the game. Really? Like, what's the upside of that? So with Brian Hoyer, we know he's not a good player, right? We know Brian Hoyer's not a good player. We know he's a backup level quarterback. And we also know there's no future with him. We know all that with Brian Hoyer. There's no future. He's not the future quarterback of the Patriots. At least with Jarrett Stidham, there's excitement. I'm not telling you there's a 100% guarantee that Stidham's the next great quarterback for the New England Patriots, but at least there's a possibility. It's a young guy who looks pretty damn talented, who everybody in the Patriots organization seems to speak highly of. I want to see that. That's entertainment for me. The Patriots rolling out to the season and Brian Hoyer actually being there in week one, it's really difficult for me to watch that football. I don't want to see Brian Hoyer play. I have no interest in that whatsoever. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. Let's get to Matt. He's in Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Mr. Barrett. Love the show. Just listening to you talk about this, the Hoyer Stidham competition, and I totally agree. So, listen, I think the one argument that I heard about this was that they didn't want to ruin Stidham's confidence coming out because they're playing a couple, you know, they're at Seattle, at Kansas City. That argument is ridiculous. This is the NFL, right? Like, you don't play scared, okay? This is the guy. He's going to go out there. He's going to compete, okay? Of all the teams I think you listed about Hoyer, I think, I'm not sure if you did because I was driving. Did you list the Texans?
Yeah, he's with the Texans. He was awful. He was awful with the Texans. I was in Houston at the time. He was terrible there.
Well, yeah, but didn't he lead them? I'm not sure if he led them or came in via injury to the playoffs, but in the playoff game, he threw like five picks or something.
Yeah, he was horrible. He was absolutely horrible in that game.
Right, right. And I'm not sure if that's sticking in people's minds that he, like, led them to the playoffs or he's capable. But, I mean, you said it all correctly. I mean, he already beat them out once.
Yeah.
You know, last year, I think, like you said, in Indy, I remember he got into one game. He's, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, they've talked about Hoyer the whole time, and Brady loved to have him there. In the quarterback room, you know, he's like another coach. But let's not put that in place of, like, athletic ability. Stidham, you know, he's going to, as well as, like, you know, I'm not going to put him in Mahomes' category, but I'm saying sit him as a quarterback. He's going to get outside the pocket, and he's going to make plays happen, hopefully. And like another caller said before, I think he's going to work better with Myers and Harry, just being that they're younger and, you know, they're going to maybe gel a little bit better on that front.
And here's
one last thing.
Well, Matt, I was just going to say this. So if you look at it, if Belichick had gone after a guy like, say, Andy Dalton or Philip Rivers, I would actually be more concerned about Stidham because I would say, all right, he probably doesn't believe Stidham is the guy. But the fact that he only brought in a guy that he cut less than a year ago makes me think that Belichick thinks very highly of the player because he did nothing else in terms of addressing the position.
Obviously. I mean, yeah, Belichick, the way he's talked about Stidham and stuff, I mean, we're not, yeah, we're on the same page on that. Just lastly, I just want to think, when you read the Instagram post when and Brady, who's my favorite athlete of all time, I've always said if Brady wasn't a good guy, by now someone would have come out and, you know, kind of shed light on this. But honestly, he's actually on my last nerve. With this Instagram post that he put out about the new product.
Protect the like, immune system booster, but, yeah.
Right. When he says, I'm not sure if he said this part, but if you listen to the Instagram, he goes, "You guys are going to love this." You know that?
Yeah.
I actually almost threw up in my mouth. Like, I was like, what is this guy doing? Like, what's going on here? Like, it was just like, I was really, you know, to the fact that not only the time that the country's in right now, but even if we weren't, it's just like, dude, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a bad look. I'm not going to work. I don't want to say the word optics because I'm so sick of that word optics. It's really a bad look. I mean, I think everyone, you know, I'm on my last nerve with him. You know, yeah. I'm not going to say I appreciate it all he did here. He's still, you know, I'm over it. Like, I'm not going to hold it against him. I'm not going to be one of these guys. I'm rooting against him. I'm rooting for him. It is what it is. It's professional sports. It's 2020. But this whole side gig with the, you know, the marketing, the branding, and, you know, play football, dude. So throw the football, and I don't want to hear another one of those Instagram posts like that. That was absolutely...
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Matt. Appreciate the phone call. The thing that I had an issue with, or the thing that surprises me, is nobody got to Brady and said, this is going to be a bad look. At this point in time, trying to sell an immune booster, if you will, during the coronavirus pandemic, nobody got to Brady and said, yeah, Tom, this is not a good look right now. It doesn't look good for Tom Brady whatsoever. It looks like he's trying to benefit off this time we're having in the country, this pandemic that we're having right now. It's not a good look for Tom Brady, and I can't believe that nobody got to Tom and said, yeah, Tom, probably not a good idea to promote this on your Instagram right now. It's not a good look, bottom line, for Brady. All right, a lot more to get into. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on Rob Ninkovich's take that Brian Hoyer is going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots in week one, certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Tom Brady just about to get on the golf course. He's warming up right now. Brady, of course, participating in the match, Champions for Charity. He's paired up with Phil Mickelson. They're taking on Tiger Woods and his former rival, Peyton Manning. The front nine will be match play, and the back nine will be a modified alternate shot format in which all players tee off, and then each team member alternates shots. All proceeds go to coronavirus relief. John Clayton is reporting that Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson would love to add Antonio Brown to his team's roster. Brown has not played in the league since the Pats win over the Dolphins in week two of the 2019 season. Brown is being investigated by the NFL for off-the-field issues, including an incident with a moving truck driver that resulted in an arrest and multiple charges. Former college basketball coach Eddie Sutton passed away on Saturday of natural causes. Sutton was 84. He won more than 800 games and was the first coach to take four different schools to the NCAA tournament. Sutton was named a member of the 2020 Basketball Hall of Fame class. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you up until 4 o'clock. The number is 617-779-7937. Tom Brady getting ready to go head-to-head with Peyton Manning. Well, I guess with Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods pairing up for the match, and all the proceeds are going to coronavirus relief. One thing I was thinking about as it was being hyped this week, a rivalry renewed, Manning and Brady, etc., is we are never in our lifetime in the NFL going to get another thing like Brady and Manning in terms of the rivalry. Because what you essentially need to have is the two best quarterbacks in the NFL where you can guarantee they're going to be playing each other every season, right? So the reason that Brady and Manning were always playing against each other was the fact that Brady was always winning the AFC East and Peyton Manning was always winning the AFC South. So they weren't even in the same division, yet they played every year because their teams continued to win at a high enough level. We've never really had a quarterback rivalry like that. We've had quarterback discussions through the years in terms of who's the better player, but we've never had a rivalry like this where these guys were meeting every season. This was more like an NBA rivalry. This is like Magic and Bird back in the day, where in the 80s, you wanted to see Magic go against Larry Bird. That's the type of rivalry that Brady and Manning turned out to be. Like, for example, right now, Pat Mahomes is by far the best quarterback in the NFL. But who's going to be the guy that is close to Pat Mahomes' level and he's playing every year? Is it Lamar Jackson? Well, when we saw Lamar Jackson last time in the postseason, he wasn't great. So are we going to just assume that Lamar Jackson, because he was the MVP last season, is going to be an MVP competitor, if you will, for years to come? Is Deshaun Watson going to be that guy? Now, Deshaun Watson has all the talent in the world, but if you look at his team, is anybody trusting that organization long term? Because you look at that division right now, Tennessee looks like they're on the come up. Ryan Tannehill had a great season last year. And I look at what the Texans have done in terms of Bill O'Brien, former Patriots assistant coach, of course. He traded away DeAndre Hopkins for a second-round draft pick and then took a second-round draft pick to trade for Brandon Cooks, who's had five concussions in his NFL career. All he got back for DeAndre Hopkins and Jadeveon Clowney over the past 2 years were a second and a third-round pick. So even though I think maybe on just pure talent, Deshaun Watson may be the guy to go head-to-head with Pat Mahomes every year, and I know they'll play this year, but I can't guarantee that long-term that I can continue to see Deshaun Watson winning that division, especially as long as Bill O'Brien is employed by the Texans organization as the GM. As the coach, okay, whatever, but as the GM, he's horrible. He's terrible. He doesn't have a first-round pick. He didn't have one this year. He doesn't have one next year because of the Laramie Tunsil trade. So he's given away first-round picks left and right. He's given away star receivers like DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't see how that benefits the quarterback long-term. So this rivalry that we had with Manning and with Brady, I don't think we'll ever see this duplicated in our lifetime in the NFL. I really just don't see that happening. And you look around the sport right now, is Joe Burrow going to be that guy? He's going to a Bengals organization. Could he be the guy that competes with Pat Mahomes? I just don't see that based on everything that's happened within that organization for years. And I get it that they've changed over, and we'll see in terms of if the coach is going to stick around there long term or if eventually they have to move on over a guy that this is entering his second year as a head coach of the NFL. Maybe they'll find the next great head coach of the Bengals, or really the next great the coach that actually can do something with that organization, because they've been terrible for a number of years. Is Joe Burrow going to be that guy? Baker Mayfield, everybody thought he was going to be great. We haven't seen it. Sam Darnold has underachieved in his NFL career. Josh Allen, I'm not sold on that guy, especially as a passer. So I just don't see the guy that you can look at and say, yeah, we can get that matchup head-to-head for years to come. I just don't see it happening right now with how much better Pat Mahomes is than every other quarterback in the league. And the guy that I'd say in terms of the young quarterbacks, I take over the rest of them is Deshaun Watson, but I just don't trust that organization. So this Manning-Brady rivalry, do you remember what those weeks were like too, leading up to the Colts week? I used to get so excited for Brady versus Manning every year. That used to be the game that you look on in your calendar. Is when the schedule came out, it wasn't, hey, when do you play your division teams, the Dolphins or the Bills? It was, when does Peyton Manning and Tom Brady go head-to-head? And they've had some epic matchups. I mean, you think about 2003, where you had the situation where the defense just dominated Peyton Manning. But then you think about that game where the Patriots lose in 2009, where Belichick goes for it on 4th-and-2. And I still contend that was the right move, because no matter what happens, if Peyton Manning gets the ball back, considering that 2009 defense was not great, Peyton Manning was scoring. So I still defend Belichick for the move that he made in that game. They've had some great playoff games throughout the years. And unfortunately, the last two times, the Patriots have came up on the wrong side of that one. But it just made for such an intriguing storyline each and every year where those two guys were going up against each other. And to Peyton Manning's credit, eventually he got over the hump and he beat the Patriots in 06 when he had that epic comeback when the Patriots blew, what, a 21-point lead. He finally got over the hump. And I guarantee you that it was significantly more rewarding for Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl that year, where they eventually go on and they beat the Bears, who had no business being in the Super Bowl whatsoever. It had to have been significantly more rewarding for Peyton Manning to be able to say, oh yeah, I got over the Patriots first and won the Super Bowl. Because if he didn't get by the Patriots, yeah, it would have been great to win the Super Bowl, but he finally slayed the dragon at that point in time, and that was, he always struggled against the Patriots, and then in 06, he really just, he did the reverse of what Brady usually does to the Colts. He was the one that was able to put on the show in the second half. So that rivalry was just so fun to watch, and we're never going to see anything like that again in NFL history. Now, I did want to touch on this real quickly. The NBA has basically laid out its plan, as has the NHL, in terms of the return to sports. This is what, or a return to play. Mike Bass, a spokesperson for the NBA, he said this week, quote, "The NBA, in conjunction with the National Basketball Players Association, is engaged in exploratory conversations with the Walt Disney Company about restarting the 1920 NBA season in late July at Disney's ESPN Wide World of Sports complex in Florida as a single site for an NBA campus for games, practices, and housing." Ramona Shelburne had further reporting on this. "It remains unclear whether the NBA will play the remainder of its regular season or proceed directly to the playoffs." So first things first, let me address the reporting by Ramona Shelburne where she says the league is still trying to figure out if they want to have playoffs or have a couple of games to tune things up. Now, eventually, or I should say originally, when it all first started, everything with the coronavirus pandemic and the season was suspended, I was thinking to myself, well, you got to give these guys a little bit more time to work up a lather. They have to play some regular season games. You can't just go right into the playoffs. But at this point in time, we've missed so much time. You can't reintroduce the regular season. Just go right into the playoffs. And here's the thing, like, unlike the NHL, there's no mystery in the NBA playoffs. There is no mystery in the NBA playoffs whatsoever, right? Most of the time, we know who's going to win. It's odd when we see, for example, when Dirk Nowitzki was the MVP of the NBA in the 07 season, 2006-2007, the Golden State Warriors upset him. We rarely see that. When Dikembe Mutombo, a member of the Nuggets in 94, they beat the Seattle Supersonics, that's rare. Ordinarily in the NBA, we know what teams are going to go to the finals. We know that in the Western Conference, it's going to be the Clippers or the Lakers. And then if you look at it in terms of the Eastern Conference, it would be very shocking to all of us, no disrespect to the Celtics, it would be very shocking to all of us if the Milwaukee Bucks aren't representing the Eastern Conference. With the NHL, it's totally different. You had one of the best regular season teams in NHL history last year in the Tampa Bay Lightning in terms of the points, etc. They lose in the first round to the Columbus Blue Jackets, okay? In the first round. So you get upsets all the time in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which makes it incredibly entertaining. With the NBA, I believe that it'd make it at least a little bit more compelling to kind of have a curveball this year where, okay, you're not going to have these warm-up games that ordinarily you would have. So maybe a team could be more ripe for an upset. Like, for example, some of these older teams that are coming back. A team like the Clippers, for example, where you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, these guys that need load management, maybe they're not ready right away because they haven't played a game in a while. Maybe it takes them a while to get back. Maybe they're more ripe for an upset than they would have been in other seasons, so to speak. So from my perspective, there's no point in bringing back all these bad teams. What's the point? The Golden State Warriors, they have the worst record in the NBA. What's the point of bringing these guys back and making them play a couple of extra games? And just from a common sense standpoint, I understand that they're going to do this at one venue, but why would you want to bring teams that you don't need to bring? Why would you bring 14 teams right now that aren't in the playoffs to this place? It's just more people that you have to put there. It just, in my mind, makes things significantly more difficult than they need to be. Just kick off the playoffs. Just get the playoffs out of the way. These teams can scrimmage against each other, get back in shape, etc., and then go from there. I do not need to see some of these rubbish teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, like the Golden State Warriors, The Sacramento Kings, I don't need to see these teams play games anymore. I'm sorry. Their season should be over. Just resume with the teams that at the time that the season was suspended were in playoff contention, or in, I should say, playoff position, because I guess some other teams were in playoff position, if you will, or playoff contention. They weren't in playoff position. So I'd much rather than just take the 16 teams and get things going. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski also said that the NBA is discussing a step-by-step plan for the resumption of the season that includes an initial two-week recall of players into team marketplaces for a period of quarantine, 1 to 2 weeks of individual workouts at team facilities, and 2 to 3 formal training camps. He said some franchises in restricted markets, including New York City, Boston, and Toronto, are inquiring to the NBA on the option for players to bypass returns to those cities in June and report directly to the proposed bubble for eventual start of training camps. See, this is what I don't understand. Why aren't they just doing this right away? So basically what Woj is saying, like here with the Celtics and in Toronto and in New York, although I guess, yeah, Brooklyn, so you have the Nets that are in playoff contention. But with these teams, they're trying to figure out a way where we can just go right to the site and start things there. From my perspective, that just seems like the easier way to do things. If you actually quarantine the players at the facilities in Orlando, rather than having them quarantine in Boston, in New York, in Toronto, all over the country, right? Wherever the team, in Milwaukee, wherever they're playing, have the teams quarantine there, and then they get a quarantine again, basically, when they go to Orlando. It just doesn't make sense. Just have them all go to the site to start things off and kick off the NBA playoffs from there. That's what I would be doing. I don't see the point of having the teams go to their individual locations and then going to Orlando. That just, from my perspective, it doesn't make sense. It seems like it's too much work. It seems like it's too much of a challenge. And it seems like you're risking this more so than you would have been otherwise. The other thing that I'm interested in terms of the NBA, because of the fact that the rosters are so small compared to other sport leagues, the NHL, especially the NFL, of course, and Major League Baseball. So here's the thing that I would say is, this really could change the complexion of an NBA title, right? So, for example, Adam Silver has basically made it abundantly clear they can't be in the business of starting the NBA season back up and then stopping it, right? They don't really have the luxury to be able to do that again. They can't play for a week and somebody gets the coronavirus like originally Rudy Gobert got in the Utah Jazz, and then they basically say, yeah, we're good with the season. They suspended again. They can't do that, right? That's what Adam Silver's saying. Hey, if we're starting this back up, we have to follow through and finish things up. We don't have the luxury to just go through all these hoops to be able to start the playoffs and or the end of the regular season, whatever they decide to do, and then start. They can't do that. So what if one of the better players in the NBA ends up with the coronavirus? What if Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James? What if somebody along the lines of Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, somebody that is a key contributor to one of the teams that's considered to be one of the favorites to win the NBA championship? Then what do? Then you really do have an asterisk-type situation for the NBA champion. Now, the one thing I will say is this. When you're talking about the asterisks, because Shaquille O'Neal said they should just cancel the season, as did Charles Barkley, because they essentially are arguing that no matter what happens at this point in time, whoever wins is going to have an asterisk. Now, I would say if you have a situation where a Giannis gets the coronavirus or somebody that I pointed out, LeBron, Anthony Davis, one of these stars, and a team doesn't have to play that guy. Okay, yeah, that makes sense that there would be an asterisk. But if you have pretty much healthy players and all the stars are healthy, et cetera, I don't believe there's an asterisk on this whatsoever. Now, okay, you had a shortened season. Fine. We've had that before in the NBA. In 1999, the year after Michael Jordan retired from the Bulls, now eventually came back from the Wizards, but the Spurs won the NBA championship. I don't look at the Spurs title as any less significant, or I don't put an asterisk on the Spurs title just because you had a season in which you played fewer games. For example, you look at the Miami Heat, their first title with LeBron James. I know they won in 06, but when LeBron James becomes a member of the Miami Heat, when him, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh come together, the second year they're together, they won a championship. That was in a lockout year. So I don't think it's an asterisk situation whatsoever if a team wins a championship, as long as the stars are relatively healthy. Now, in terms of the NHL, they're talking about a 24-team playoff, essentially. And the playoff, the format is kind of weird. So you have the top four seeds in each conference, as determined by the standings at the time. They would essentially get byes. So the B's, of course, the number one seed. and they would get a bye. But those top four teams would play some sort of round-robin tournament that would potentially reseed the top four. So you get the Bruins, the Lightning, the Capitals, and the Flyers in the East. And then you get these other teams that essentially you're going to have five-game series with seeds 5 through 12. And in my mind, just when I look at it from a pure Bruins lens and all this, okay, so if I look at it from the Bruins aspect, it kind of screws with the Bruins because we'll see what they end up deciding to do in terms of the round-robin tournament. But the Bruins have worked all season long to be the best team in the NHL. And if you look at it in terms of the points, they're 8 points better than Tampa, who has the second most points in the East. They're 10 points better than the Capitals, who has the third most points in the East. And they're 11 points better than the Flyers, who have the fourth most points in the East. So we're looking at a scenario where the Bruins, in this round-robin tournament, if you will, could end up, I don't know, the 3 seed, the 2 seed, the 4 seed, however this ends up working out, because they haven't ironed out that final detail of how that particular situation would kind of play itself out. But the Bruins could get screwed in all this. So what was that whole regular season for? Hey, you know what? You were 8 points better than Tampa during the regular season, but, you know, we're doing a round robin, and hey, you lost this game to the Capitals in the round robin, and you actually lost to the Lightning as well in this round robin, so you know what? We're actually going to give you the 3 seed. That's stupid. What was the point of the regular season if that's the case? That, to me, when I look at the NHL is the league, unlike the NBA, where there's no intrigue in the postseason whatsoever, the NHL is the league that actually does have a ton of intrigue. You don't have to mess with the formula. Basically, if you look at the Stanley Cup playoffs, they are idiot-proof. Completely idiot-proof, okay? You don't have to do anything to change up the formula of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They deliver each and every year. You had the Blue Jackets beat the Lightning last year. Every year, the Stanley Cup playoffs deliver, okay? And I know the Bruins lost last year, but the Stanley Cup final was unbelievable last year as well with the Blues and the run that they had, etc. So this, to me, is the NHL overthinking it. Just put 16 teams in as you ordinarily do. And I get the argument is the same as the NBA. These guys need to basically play a couple of games, etc., before you get back into the playoffs. But I don't think there's a need to put extra teams into the postseason. You already have a good enough formula. You already have a situation where you can go into a series and you don't know who's going to win. You don't know who's going to win. After what happened last year, the Blue Jackets beating the Lightning, you can't tell me that you can guarantee any team's going to beat the other team when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoff, because we just saw it happen last year. And in the NHL, we see 8 seeds beat 1 seeds, right? We see the worst team beat the best team in terms of their playoff seedings. We've seen it happen multiple times. But with the NBA, it's so rare. That's why it's almost like this is like the reverse. The NBA or the NHL is trying to basically change things up and makes things different when they don't really need to. And the NBA is in a position where it's like, okay, we already know these other teams suck. You don't have to bring them back. Just go to the 16-team playoffs. So I actually think it's the reverse of what these two leagues have come up with that would make more sense. The NBA needs to be more intriguing, and the NHL just needs to do what it always does. And I don't understand why they're the league that's searching for change, so to speak. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you up until 4 o'clock. I do want to revisit one thing about Tom Brady this week in just a second. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you up until 4 o'clock. The number 617-779-7937. As it pertains to the NBA relaunching its season, please do not give us regular season games. We don't need it. Most people don't even enjoy the NBA regular season to begin with, so why are you going to bring all these crappy teams back for 5 games? If you were a member of one of those teams, would you want to come back? Especially considering some of these guys live overseas. Are you coming back to play 5 games? It just practically makes no sense to me whatsoever. Just go right into the playoffs. Nobody cares about seeing Kevin Love and his Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, nobody wants to see that. We just want to see the NBA playoffs. So I have no idea why the NBA would make life more difficult for itself by getting all the teams in the league at one site to play games. Just get the playoff teams there, and that's all you need to get the season back underway. You don't need all these other teams across the league. Just go by what the seeding is. Okay, unfortunately, Zion Williamson and the Pelicans aren't going to be able to chase down Memphis for the final seed. Portland's not going to be able to chase down Memphis for the final seed. Sorry, should have been better during the rest of the regular season. That's how it goes. Okay, now I get Zion was injured, but for the most part, you could have been better, so you had an opportunity. It's a weird season because of everything going on in the world, and unfortunately because of that, you don't get to get into the playoffs. Sorry, that's just what happens. Not to mention, it's not like Portland or New Orleans is going to win an NBA championship Anyways, and another thing I wanted to mention real quickly with the Tom Brady documentary coming out. My whole thing about the Brady thing is, it's great. If you get somebody that wants to make a documentary about you, and this most recent one is going to be basically how it's been labeled is about the 9 Super Bowls that Brady played in and going through those games, et cetera, talking about that. I get it. If you can get somebody to make a documentary about you, fine. But it just feels like, to me, it's oversaturation with Brady. Are we really, and I'm not just saying this because he's no longer a member of the Patriots. I'd be saying the same thing if he was still here. There's just not really a need for more stories about Tom Brady right now. There was a craving for stories about Michael Jordan because really he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything in terms of the media. He doesn't go on sports talk radio shows. He doesn't go on First Take. And I'm not saying Brady goes on those shows in particular, but Michael Jordan doesn't really open up to anybody. Okay, and he decided to do this documentary, do it on his own terms, and everybody was interested to see what happened to that final 1998 season and get all these stories about Tom, or get all these stories about Michael Jordan, why he was mad about Charles Barkley and Karl Malone getting the MVP, the flu game that turned out to be the food poisoning game, etc. This whole thing about that guy, LeBradford Stevens or whatever, where he made up a story so that he could score like 37 points and a half and LeBradford Stevens didn't say anything. The feud with the Detroit Pistons, right? All that stuff. The dream team, like getting all that from Jordan's perspective is something we never really saw before. And you wanted to hear Jordan weigh in on those things. And that documentary, and you can say what you want about being it tilted towards Jordan, which it certainly was. But the best part about it is when they'd show Jordan what other people were saying, and it'd react to the iPad that he was watching the video on. That was awesome, right? But we needed that because you felt like there was more for Jordan to say about his career. With Brady, what else do you need to hear about? Tom Brady has already had 2 different documentaries when you're talking about Tom versus Time and the Brady Six. There's nothing really that I'm interested in about Tom Brady anymore. Maybe 20 years from now, if he wants to relive his career, maybe there'd be an appetite for it then. But maybe I'm in the minority. But I'm just not craving more stuff about Tom Brady. I know he went to Michigan, and I know that Drew Henson took his job, and then he got it back, and he was coming in, he was filling in, and he's winning games for Michigan. I know that he was the 199th pick. I know all this stuff about Tom Brady. I know that he takes care of his body. I know that he's a health freak. I know that he's all about pliability. There's really nothing else you can tell me about Tom Brady. I know that he's a family man. We saw in Tom versus Time, the time he spends with his kids, the time that he spends with his wife. And he's working so hard, he's going to have Alex Guerrero come over to his house and stretch him out because he wants to spend time with his family as well. We know that he makes smoothies. There's like really nothing else you can give me in terms of a documentary about Tom Brady. Now, if you want to flip things and do a documentary about Bill Belichick and some of the stories about Bill Belichick that have been left untold, okay. But again, Bill Belichick is not going to be in a position where he's giving you that type of information, right? So if a Belichick documentary, another one I should say, was in the works, I'd be all about that. Talk about certain games. And in fact, quite frankly, I'd be more interested in Belichick talking about the 9 Super Bowls than I would Tom Brady talking about the 9 Super Bowls. Like, Belichick can think about what they were doing on both sides of the ball. He can go through certain stuff. That, to me, from just a pure football fan perspective, is more interesting than Brady talking about those 9 games. Just me, that I'm not interested. I have no appetite whatsoever for any type of Brady documentary. And what is he going to say, even if he says something about the time at the end with the Patriots? All right, we already know what Brady's upset about. He wanted a contract extension. He didn't get it. What else can you tell us? Okay, you were upset that Belichick and Kraft, after all these years you gave to the organization, they didn't give you the deal. Okay, they offered him less money this year than they did the season before. Okay, we know all of this stuff. Like, I don't understand what can be groundbreaking about a Tom Brady documentary. Now, if you got Belichick's side of the story on why he wanted to move on from Tom, if you actually got Belichick's take on the Jimmy Garoppolo trade and him texting Jimmy Garoppolo, that's interesting. Wait, can you tell us about the whole Jimmy Garoppolo relationship? Or the stuff about Rob Gronkowski, where he essentially traded him to the Detroit Lions and Gronk said, I'll retire if you do that? That stuff's compelling to me to find out Belichick's side of things, but we're never going to get a documentary about Belichick. But my only point is, Belichick is a more interesting character now than Brady is in terms of a documentary. If this was a situation where Brady never did Tom versus Time, and Brady never did the Brady Six, that documentary about all the quarterbacks taken ahead of Brady and Brady's rise to fame, etc., if he never did any of that stuff, okay, that would be cool stories to tell, but we already know all those stories. All right, I want to mention this real briefly, too, before I go. Brian Barrett with you up until 4 o'clock, 617-779-7937. Matt Light, former left tackle, of course, was on the Pat McAfee show this week. And he had this to say about why we're not hearing a lot from the Patriots about Jarrett Stidham. Although we're hearing, I don't want to say rumors, but we're hearing murmurs from the Patriots that they like Stidham. We know Belichick likes Stidham. He was referring to him as Stid last year. Hey, Stid's been practicing a lot because Brady's been dealing with these injuries, etc. But this is what Matt Light said. You're not hearing anything because there's nothing to be said. And that is 11 years of being in that system. But in a lot of ways, it's 100% factual, right? Can he deliver? Referring to Stidham. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to come together before you can answer that question. Is he capable? Sure. Would Bill say that? Never. There's no upside to saying it, so he's not going to do it. All right, that's what Matt Light told Pat McAfee about why you're not hearing a lot of things from Jarrett Stidham. And it makes perfect sense. What is Bill going to say this offseason? Well, you know what? The reason that we didn't draft and move up to get Jalen Hurts, or we didn't take Jake Fromm or Jacob Eason, or we didn't sign Phillip Rivers, or we didn't go after Andy Dalton, or we didn't take a shot on Jameis Winston. The reason we didn't do any of that, because we believe Jarrett Stidham is the next franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots. What benefit does Bill have coming out and saying any of that publicly? He can only look dumb, right? So if he goes out there, Stidham, and doesn't perform, then Belichick looks like an idiot. And if he doesn't say anything, like he's not really saying much right now, and Stidham goes out into the football field, and Stidham this year plays well for the Patriots, and somehow they get to 11-5 or 10-6, and they get into the postseason, maybe they win the division again, well, then Belichick looks like a genius. Belichick can really benefit from Stidham performing at a high level, because think about everything that's been thrown at Belichick over the past couple of months. Most of you Patriots fans out there, most of you, okay, now there's a certain minority that are in my group, but most of the Patriots fans are upset that Brady's no longer a member of this organization, that they should have taken care of Brady at the end of his career, that Belichick is going to pay for this, and that Brady did everything for Belichick. Most of you on that side of things. But if Belichick comes back this year and his team is relatively competitive and it looks like you have the next franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots, you know who's going to look pretty damn smart? Bill Belichick. Belichick's going to look pretty damn good at the end of the day if Stidham resembles somebody that you think could be the starting quarterback for the next decade or so of the New England Patriots. So that's why Belichick's being quiet about all this stuff, because as Matt Light is pointing out, he's not going to gain anything by coming out and saying, yeah, I believe that this guy is a Pro Bowl quarterback, perennial Pro Bowler that's going to take us on deep playoff runs. Even if Belichick does truly believe that, why would he put that out there? But I'm telling you, by Belichick's behavior this offseason in terms of addressing the position, or I should say, not addressing the position, Belichick is telling you that he believes in the quarterback. Now, I got a text that says, hey, Brian, just because Belichick didn't take a quarterback in a quarterback-rich draft doesn't mean that he's right about doing that. Okay, that's certainly fair. You can criticize Belichick for not taking a quarterback and saying, oh, he should have done it because there was all these quarterbacks available and there was all these quarterbacks available in free agency. That's certainly fair. That could be a criticism of Belichick. But I'm telling you, that's further proof by Belichick not addressing the position with a high-round draft pick, or Belichick not going after a free agent, not really going after any of these quarterbacks that hit the open market, the Winstons, the Phillip Rivers, guy like Andy Dalton that became available, not going after any of those guys. And we haven't seen anything with Cam Newton yet either, right? So because Belichick's not going after any of those guys, that's further proof that he believes in the player. The only person, the only quarterback that Bill Belichick brought in to compete with Jarrett Stidham is Brian Hoyer. And is that really even competing with Brian Hoyer, or even competing with Jarrett Stidham? Because we already know what Brian Hoyer is. He's been horrible throughout his NFL career, and we just saw less than a year ago, Jarrett Stidham took his job away. And if anything, you would think, okay, in a year's time in the system, Jarrett Stidham will have improved. He's obviously going to be significantly more comfortable with the offense as well. So better understanding of the playbook. He's been in the system for a year, so the team's gotten an opportunity to see him for a year. So he's more comfortable doing things within the playbook. He's more familiar with the roster, etc. And if you look at that, that should mean, okay, he's going to be an improved player. If you look at Brian Hoyer, you just cut him a year ago. When he got the opportunity to play for the Colts last year, he wasn't good. He threw 3 interceptions against a Miami Dolphins team that gave up 31 points per game. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's telling you that Hoyer is probably actually even worse than he was a year ago. Stidham's better. It just makes no sense whatsoever not to go with Jarrett Stidham. And secondarily, clearly Belichick is in a position where he believes in the player, or else he would have done something in free agency. if they had gone after one of these big name free agents, and I know they didn't have the money, but if they were in the Bridgewater, Dalton, any of these sweepstakes, I would be more concerned about the future of Stidham. But because Belichick didn't do that, clearly what he's telling you is he believes in the player. And honestly, if Stidham doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. He was selected in the fourth round. You know what you do? You go into next year's draft, the 2021 draft, and you go after a quarterback again. All right. Thank you all for listening today. I'll be back on 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Thanks to Brian and Bridget for producing. Have a great rest of your Sunday, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.